Blog Talk Radio.
Beloved friends, and welcome to Divine Experience with your host, Dr. Dacia Smith. And let me just welcome you if this is your first time listening to this show. If it is not your first time, welcome back. It's been a while since I have broadcast on the show. I've been extremely busy the last few weeks, so I'm glad to be back with you during this time. And so much has been happening. I can't exactly even remember the reasons why I was unable to broadcast at this time, but I know last week I was not even at home. I was out and about taking care of various errands, and with springtime coming up, again, it's just, you know, so much more going on in my life right now in preparation for my upcoming marriage and about 75 days or so. And again, you know, so many other aspects of my life in change and transition. So I do want to mention that of today are spiritual revivals regarding those and seeking those out or identifying what types of spiritual revivals would be most beneficial for you. So one of my favorite revival type or revival-oriented songs is Turn It Around. And it's an older song, but it just to me just rejuvenates and stimulates, you know, just sheer joy and ecstasy in the Lord and about what the Lord has done in our lives. It just has that kind of tone to it. So I thought it'd be a great way to commence the show. And we also have in the city of Memphis, this goes along with our People of Influence, currently having a number of revivals within my particular denomination of the Seventh-day Adventists. We call them seminars, prophecy seminars, but essentially they're the same. They certainly include, you know, teaching from the Word. You can go far more in depth with these revivals than in just the regular worship service or even your typical Bible study, which is usually no more than an hour or so. So I know my churches and then one of our sister churches as well has one currently in progress. So just ask for prayers for those in your prayers that people, first of revival is to really draw, it's multi-purpose, but one of the primary purposes is to draw people into the fold to bring or impart information that they may not have in terms of scripture and just spiritual knowledge and understanding of some things as it relates our lives and our futures. as children of God. So it's a great opportunity where you can get people out in mass numbers. If your marketing and publicity and so forth is extensive enough to where you can really make an impact on the community. But as far as praises, we have 1 week remaining until spring break, thank God. I'm so excited and ready. There's been a lot going on, testing at the schools, and my son is, he actually had the flu last weekend, and so that's what kept me in and sort of just monitoring his health and recovery, and he's doing fine now. Praise God for his recovery. And, you know, just very, very grateful that God, we had flood rains this week for a number of days, and you may have read about it on the news. So I just thank God for getting me to and fro safely, and as well as others. It was pretty dangerous weather, you know, riding on water and so forth in many instances. So I just thank God for getting us through. And I pray for those who, you know, suffered some damage to their homes or property during these flood rains, or and also those who are, you know, suffering with the flu. The flu season has been just, you know, incredibly severe this year. So he never had it before, and he's had it the first time. So, you know, it's, there have been some, you know, very, very stubborn bouts of it, and taking people, you know, weeks to really recuperate. So I just pray for their healing. Let's have prayer at this time. Father God in heaven, we come before you, Lord, asking for your blessing and your favor in various areas of our lives. Father God, we just thank you for your loving kindness and your grace. And so, Father God, just ask right now that wherever individuals may be in this country, in this world, Father God, if they are in need of a personal, individual, spiritual revival within their hearts, Father God, that you would, you know, bring to them the relevant scriptures and the people, Father God, that you send through your divine wisdom, or lead them to those individuals or those particular locations and places where they can really delve into and absorb the power of your word, Father God, and just, you know, the ultimate, consummate fulfillment that comes from knowing your word and being grounded and rooted. So, Father God, you know, just in whatever capacity it needs to be, that there would just be worldwide just a humongous spiritual revival and awakening of individuals to know just how very critical it is that we get close to you and in tune with you, so that we are ready to face and survive these last days. So I want to start out with pertaining to revival, Psalm 85:6. Will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? And Psalm 80:19, restore us, O Lord God of hosts, let your face shine that we may be saved. And Acts 2, the beginning of Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on one of them, and they were also filled with the Spirit, which was speaking other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having people wander off into myths. And so we are going to be getting into revivals that do not have a biblical basis and can be very sensational and actually lead people away from Jesus Christ because of the, you know, various deceptive statements and proclamations that are made, you know, types of wayward revival. So we are going to address that as well. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise. Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart and renew spirit. Most Americans believe the church is dying is the title of the survey and the study, the poll that was taken. And so it does church attendance, rather, is acceptable. Yet, more and more believing that its impact, its effect is dying. And of course, you know, my fiance is, you know, very, very insistent upon, you know, clarifying the church and what that means. And of course, you know, a lot of people, maybe the first thought that comes to mind would be, I'm going to church, I'm going to the building, but actually the church is full of God, who serve God, who worship Him, who are the believers. And so the way I interpret this is when they say, they see, people see the church is dying, it's saying they see the people of God are dying, are dying out. Of course, we're not talking about the physical death, but the spiritual death. That's great. Coming. And even if they are coming, they're very complacent and detached, perhaps not really getting involved and contributing, and they don't even mention something like a revival, which you have to be at a, you know, a level of spirituality at that point, spiritual self-actualization, where you understand or realize what the personal benefit is in your spiritual life and walk with the Lord, to attend or be a part of one of those types of events. Is, again, quite disheartening because the people of God, you know, we should always be seen as vibrant, full of life. And you know, Jesus Christ refers to us as the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Our presence should be very noticeable and, you know, powerful in terms of you know, our interactions with others and, you know, how we influence them. So that's definitely something to think about as we get into our discussion on spiritual revival and awakening in America from a mainstream standpoint. There is patrickmorley.com, MORLEY.com. Mainstream, the mainstream revivals and so forth in America and the colonies and on and on. Cotton Mather, Increase Mather, you know, those that. America, of course, in the American South, which is primarily where most of the, you know, big, huge revivals started or were, you know, usually known to occur. And then with that being segregated, of course, and slavery, Black Americans were not allowed to assemble in the majority of cases or found to assemble, whether it be for worship or whatever other purpose, there could be fatal consequences. But emancipation. There were, in the 1870s, a slew of spiritual revivals in the Black church. And these, again, this was not just, you know, for them to have their own praise and worship service, but these also, you know, they were very much in Black Americans and politics, voting, and previously been disenfranchised. They were very much tied in with the community in that regard. So, you know, again, the Black church historically has done a great deal to better and improve the conditions of the community, and in addition to the revivals and then, you know, promoting and proclaiming the aspect of, you know, spiritual wellness and unity as being very, you know, pivotal piece in the strength of the community. So that's a big part of the Black church. Morally, 10 characteristics of revival. So, I'm going to give you then, after I finish reading these, what I found to be characteristics of spiritual revivals from a modern standpoint, and what many people, you know, have concerns about or in terms of their needs with a revival. So, number one, yeah, let me just first define revival in general. Spiritual revival is a program or an event, usually ongoing, has a series of different meanings that relate to, you know, scriptural understandings of you know, certain principles and concepts that people can apply to their lives. And, you know, sometimes, you know, these may center on a particular aspect of a Christian's life. Like, you may have a revival for youth, or you may have a revival for, you know, married couples or singles. May have, but usually, in general, it's sometimes they will have specific ones that they can use. Usually, you know, is, you know, crosses. But number one, he has timing. And, you know, the timing revival is very important. We have, like, we're having one in the spring right now. That tends to be a good time to have them as the weather is changing from winter to spring. Some people may have them in the fall because fall weather tends to be nice and people are more inclined to want to get out at that, and then the frequency of how often you have them and so on and so forth in terms of your meetings. Number two is prayer. So prayer is an essential component of a revival. Corporate prayer, as well as, you know, encouraging, reminding people to pray individually for that revival to be successful. God's word brings deep conviction and, you know, into the hearts and minds of people. The Holy Spirit definitely should be moving in the revival in terms of, again, this conviction and, you know, the people just having a sense of, you know, getting closer to the Lord. Get that sense of, you know, manifestation, signs, blessings. Reformation, that's not just going to revival, having great time, but then begins to be a lot. So I also thought about a revival that I felt were very key to somebody really receiving all they can possibly receive from a revival that would be helpful and advantageous for the spiritual growth and development and progress. So, first of all, I mentioned a welcoming environment. You know, a welcoming environment is so key to a spiritual revival, being successful in the community and being looked upon in a positive and favorable way. Because the Bible talks about how there should be openness and acceptance of anyone who truly wants to come in and know the Lord and receive the word. So, you know, first it's that whole it's the atmosphere, you know, you get a sense of, you know, that overall environment and the tone as to whether this is a revival that, you know, truly has an inclusive type of philosophy and approach. Number two, there should be children's ministries with any revival that's occurring, because obviously younger people, I mean, little people, children, you know, are going to, you know, have different thoughts and perspectives and ideas. So somebody should be, or a group of people, however it is, should be running the children's ministry aspect of it, where they have, you know, comparable lessons and activities that they can do and relate to at their age and stage. So if that's not available, I would really question as to whether, because we don't want somebody's child care situation or child care needs to prevent, you know, benefiting from the revival. Number three, substantial teaching and preaching, again, always based upon the Word of God. The scripture references are clear and very specific. It really does come down to, we are supposed to be, you know, following the word as much as possible, obeying God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four, you know, enjoyable spiritual entertainment, however it may be in different churches, maybe different approaches, depending upon how that musical ministry is practiced or how it operates, but definitely that is a part of the revival. That is a part of spiritual enjoyment and, you know, spiritual connection. So there should certainly be some element of that present, lively but reverent. We certainly always want to be reverent in any of our praises to the Lord. And some of that can include praise dance as well. And number five, definitely ways that appeal to the congregation, for those who, you know, convicted and compelled to give their lives to Christ or renew their lives in Christ, are already Christians, part of the revival. You feel you have way back here, where you would like to see yourself in terms of commitment to Christ, then that is that should definitely be offered during the revival. So I want to say that, you know, real quick, when identifying whether, you know, a spiritual revival is really, you know, sound and aligned with, you know, the Word of God and what we're told in Scripture a revival should, such as with Acts, you know, it's, when it's very sensationalized, there seems to be a lot of, you know, going on, and
live as people falling out, you know, all this kind of stuff. That, you know, we do not get that understanding from the revival act. You know, it was, you know, very orderly. God is very orderly. Yet there was emotion in it. There was passion. You know, there was, you know, a deep sense of repentance. So, you know, those aspects of it. But, you know, a lot of the other that you may be able to see with why he's leading to rely on television for your understanding of what spiritual revivals are. So really pray, ask God to help lead you to one that can be, you know, beneficial and revolutionary for your personal life as a Christian and in your walk with the Lord. And I promise you, God is faithful, and he will definitely do that. So I wish you all the best in your pursuit of that. And hopefully, I mean, you may have one at your very own church coming up. And if not, you can go to your pastor, whoever may be, your church leaders, and discuss the possibility of one or another one in your community. And sometimes they're not necessarily in formal churches, but they may be community revivals where a group of believers are getting together and developing one. So whatever the case may be, I pray that you'll be blessed and that, you know, in your heart as an individual, that you will have a spiritual revival and fuel that will change your life immensely. So take care and stay blessed, and I plan to be before you next week. Bye.